And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like us to gather around the end of the gospel reading this morning as Jesus references children. And so we hear these words from Luke chapter 18. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And there ends the text. But let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. As I thought about do not hinder them, kind of thinking about the obstacles that can really stand in the way today of children hearing the Word of God, it reminded me of an event a number of years ago, a tragic airplane crash. It was in 1972. And it was Eastern Airlines Flight 401 headed to Miami, and 163 passengers on board. It was a jumbo jet at the time, and a very, very good airplane. But as they put the gear down, and they were over the Everglades at this time at night, the lights would generally come on, just these little green lights on the cockpit panel that indicated the gear was down and locked. But the front landing gear light didn't come on. And so the whole flight crew, they're frantically trying to figure out, is the gear down and locked, what's going on? Well, in all of that, they forgot one simple thing, to fly the airplane. And so this plane with 163 people on board crashed into the Everglades. But after the flight investigation was done, guess what they discovered? The little green light simply didn't come on because the bulb was burnt out. I ask you, how much would you be willing to pay in hindsight if you knew that was going to happen? How much would you pay to replace that light bulb? 101 people died in that accident. So number one, the light didn't come on because simply a bulb was burnt out. And number two, there was great distraction to the crew because of it. And then I think of our Lord's words this morning, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." And you know, it's a really fascinating scene as you think about it. Here Jesus is with the disciples, and suddenly here's these parents coming, and in Luke's account, as we hear it, the Greek word used for infants can mean little tiny babies, even babies still in the womb. And so you see these parents with very young children, and they have a desire that Jesus would touch them. God bless those parents that they had that commitment and that desire to bring their children to Jesus. And you know what's fascinating about this is generally when you read through the Gospels, when people come to have Jesus touch them, or if they even approach and try to touch Jesus, it's because of some great physical ailment, and they know that through Jesus touching them or they touching Jesus, that there's a great possibility that they would be healed. And so many flock to Jesus to be touched by him. But these are healthy little children. It's not the case with these little ones that parents are concerned about their physical well-being. But they are bringing them for a divine blessing. You know, this text is in our baptism liturgy. And throughout the history of the Lutheran Church and our confessions, this passage has been one of those proof texts for infant baptism, which a number of different church bodies reject. But it's very evident that Jesus desires these little ones to come to him, that he desires to give them the blessing. And you know, really, when you think about a child's heart and mind, number one, they're like a sponge. They're very open to hearing at that age and listening to the truth. But also, they're painfully honest. They're not afraid to share anything, right? And just for a little humor today, there's a book, and it's titled Dear Pastor. And just to show this, kids just tell it like it is at that age. Arnold, age 8. Oh, and this pastor wrote this book of letters that were written to him by children. And so Arnold, age 8, wrote in, "Dear Pastor, I know God loves everybody, but he never met my sister." Or a 10-year-old from Fort Wayne, Indiana, named Tom, he wrote in, "Dear Pastor, if God gives everybody brains, I think he forgot about my best friend, Mary." Or I love this one, "Dear Pastor," it's kind of sad at the same time, from Annette, age 9. "Dear Pastor, my mother is very religious. She goes to play bingo at church every week, even if she has a cold." So there's just a flavor of the honesty of little ones. And Jesus, the creator of all life, certainly knows the heart and minds of little ones. And God's desire is that they would know him at a very young age. And we all know that Proverbs passage, don't we? Chapter 22. I hear many grandparents bring this up, and a lot of times in concern for parts of our families. But it reads, "Train a child in the way he should go, and what? When he is old, he will not turn from it." Yeah. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's God's promise. That's an incredible promise when you look at those words. But tragically, in our culture today, and certainly in years past as well, there's a lot of things that hinder children coming to Jesus. But you know what's really sad in all of this? What do you suppose the number one hindrance would probably be? But it's parents. It's parents who know the Word of God. Hopefully they were brought up in the Word of God. And yet, there's been a shift in terms of the priority of bringing little ones to Jesus. And I hear it all the time. Here's one that you've probably heard. This is an interesting one. And logically, it makes a lot of sense if you don't know the Word of God. "I do not want to influence my child on matters of faith, but let them decide when they're old enough to decide on their own." You ever heard that one? Now, those are parents speaking. Boy, Jesus levels that one, doesn't he? "Let the little children come to me." If that was really what God desired, he'd say, "No, no, kids, go away. You know, you can come back when you're old enough to kind of understand, and then we'll talk about these things." But no, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." And then I think of distractions, and that really gets back to the airplane crash. How many green lights are there that don't come on in a family household today? In other words, there's so many other things going on in life that there's just distraction after distraction after distraction. And you know, somewhere in here we'll try to get back to Jesus, but that's kind of put on the back burner, and that kind of ties in with apathy as well, just a lack of concern. Now, I'm kind of preaching to the choir because we have parents here this morning, and God bless you with your children, and praise God for you. Praise God that you are faithful in bringing your children to Jesus, to have a Christian home. But parents in general, ironically, are the greatest hindrance. And then the culture in which we live. Kids are like a sponge with their minds. And what are most kids looking at today? You go in anywhere, and I mean, it's incredible. Even adults, but everybody's locked into this little box in their hand. And think of what's available on that little box. What are our young kids, if they have a smartphone, what kind of information is filling their minds and hearts from that little box? It's our world. And so Jesus' words are very strong. Do not hinder them. And you know, we see the great fallout of this, because if we have children that are growing up in a culture and they don't have a filtering system for all the mass communication that's coming at them, and they're not going to have a compass, then it leads to all kinds of crazy things that we see going on in the world today. In Isaiah, it doesn't surprise God. He warns about this. Isaiah chapter 5, we hear these words: "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." I mean, look at that. Calling evil good and good evil. If kids are not given the foundation of God's word, they're growing into adulthood and they don't know that there's even an absolute truth. And so whatever society says, they go with it. And boy, do we see it today, wouldn't you agree? Things that are very evil are looked upon as being very acceptable today. It's the world, the culture in which we live. And if we don't have a filtering system, God's word, we're not going to know the difference. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, God warns about the end times, of where things are going to go as a result of this. And this is pretty scary stuff. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying the power. What a description. But what is that really defining? It's a life that has no compass. It's a life that has no filtering system. It's a life where everything goes, and that's just perfectly fine. And our children, for the most part, in this era of time, are growing up, and that's where it leads to. That's bad enough, but it even gets worse. Because these are worldly things, living in the world during our time on this earth. But what happens when we die? And you know, Jesus, our Savior, he's the one that spoke these words in John chapter 3. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This has eternal consequences. Imagine the children that are going to hell because their parents said, you know, sweetie, you need to make that decision when you get old enough. We're not even going to talk about this stuff now. Wow, talk about playing with fire. Let the little children come to me. The same Savior that gives this warning in these words is the one with open arms saying, I want your children. I want them to know me. And Gary, God bless you. I didn't realize what was going on this morning with you reading that reading, but what a testimony before all of us of having a faithful father who brought you up knowing Jesus. That's powerful. And it's life-giving and sustaining for eternity. We're here because most of us probably had similar parents. That they weren't distracted by the world, but the priority was Jesus in our families. And here we are, whatever ages we are, and we know Jesus, and we come and we worship Jesus. And we know the sacrifice. We know the cross. We know the great work that our Lord has accomplished. We know the cost to our Heavenly Father giving to the world His Son. We know the cost of Jesus giving His life on that cross so that everyone could be saved. But how tragic that most turn away. Nah, Jesus, don't need it. Thank you. Do you realize that Jesus leveled every hindrance that could separate us from Him? Sin and Satan and death. It's all done. He's accomplished it. And He opens His arms and says, "Let the little children come." And so we're blessed with God's truth. We're blessed with a compass. We're blessed with a filtering system. But that's because we were blessed to grow up in a Christian home, or maybe even later in life, blessed to hear the Word of God. Somebody graciously told us about Jesus. And so we are people of the Spirit. And we live by the Spirit. We're saint and sinner. We certainly aren't perfect, but we're forgiven. And certainly what consumes our lives is Christ that is in our lives. And so I'd like us to go to Galatians 5. We're going to skip, by the way, soundboard, the first one. The sins of the flesh, that's kind of like the warning of the end times. But what a contrast when we look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 25. Here is how God molds His people. Here's how He's molded you and me through faith. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which things there is no law. Now imagine living in a culture where this is the focal point of people's lives. That would be a different culture, wouldn't it? Let the children come to me, says Jesus. He wants children to know the Holy Spirit, to receive the gifts of the Spirit, to be molded and redirected in our lives by the fruit of the Spirit. It is life-changing. Do not hinder them. And so as adults, as parents, the greatest responsibility, the greatest blessing is the children that God gives us. And that they will know Jesus through the waters of baptism at a very young age. And then placing the Word of God in their hands. Well, this year and today, I'd like to focus a little more on our school. What a wonderful mission arm to our congregation, Trinity Lutheran School. And we have parents out there that may not know much about Jesus. But there's a school that's available to them, and a school that's been in this community for 70 years. And imagine, over these 70 years, how many little children have been blessed to know Jesus through the education they received at Trinity. And maybe they came from some homes where parents weren't active like you are here at our family of Trinity, but our school was a great blessing to them. And over the years, I've seen little ones that have come to be baptized as a result of the school, the Word of God that's being taught there. And so we have many parents, and especially now with the culture the way it's going, there's a number of people that want to get their kids into private school. They don't want their kids going and wondering, well, is a 12 or 14-year-old boy going to be in the bathroom with my 8-year-old daughter? The whole transgender issue and battle. It's amazing in the midst of the evil in the world how God can use those things for good, because well, we can say, hey, you come to Trinity, you don't have to worry about that. It's a safe place. And so there may be some who come only for that reason. But what they're going to hear about is Jesus. And what they're going to do is go home and they're going to tell their parents about Jesus. Well, this morning, as you're walking out, and you can just say no thank you, but we're going to be handing out envelopes for asking donations to our scholarship program. You know, an incredible thing is that here at Trinity, we have not turned anybody away because they didn't have the money. But we tell them, we'll figure out a way. We'll figure out a way. And parents are so relieved because they're thinking, wow, this tuition, and ours is much lower than most private schools. I don't know how we're going to do that, but we want our child here. And I love it. The staff says, the congregation says, we'll figure out a way. And we have. Through your gracious giving, we have not turned anyone away. But this morning, I just want to bring forth to you, in light of the cultural shifts that are going like the domino effect, we may have many more coming. And I would just love to see that scholarship fund build up to where we continue to say to them, we will figure out a way. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. Back to that crash. In hindsight, what would you pay for a light bulb? If you knew by paying for that light bulb, you would save 101 people's lives. That's just a physical matter. But think about our discussion this morning. What would you be willing to pay to eliminate any hindrance from a child coming to hear about Jesus, to come to faith and receive the blessings of everlasting life? That's our real calling. As parents, starts in our homes. As our family of Trinity, God has placed us here in this community. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.